reading Colossians 1, verses 1 to 8. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way, the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who has also told us of your love in the Spirit. Our Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you tell us it is living and active and never returns to you empty. So as we look at it here and the children look at it in next door, please would you help us to know you better and grow more like the Lord Jesus. In his name, amen.
Begin this series in Colossians that we're opening up today by praying for us two of the verses in chapter 2. They're meant from God for you. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Father in heaven above, we thank you that you live in a high and holy place, the prophet Isaiah tells us. But immediately after, he goes on to say, but also with those who are humble and contrite in spirit, to revive the humble and to revive the contrite. And so, Lord, we're gathered here today praying that you would do for us this year what the Apostle Paul said to that church in Colossae you wanted for them, that they would be rooted and strengthened in their faith in the Lord Jesus. And we want to pray that over this year ahead and ask that as a church and as individuals, you would root us deeply in the Lord Jesus and make us more like him, trusting in him more, loving and cherishing him more, obeying him more, telling others of him more. Please, would you do that, God? We ask you and pray you'd use this short time over your word together to do just that as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm not sure how you feel about this time of year post-Christmas with a fresh year ahead, but I quite like this time of year, first few days of January. In the first few days of January, anything is possible. Isn't that right? Because you think you have a whole year ahead, and you just wonder at the possibilities and think, well, I may not be able to do it this week, but surely before the end of 2020, I'll be able to accomplish that certain vision or that certain desire that I have. Does the new year feel like that to you? An opportunity, a chance for fresh vision, fresh desire, fresh thinking about what's this year ahead going to be like? I feel that it's often a bit like a blank page. And as I think about the year ahead, I think about this blank page and think, what will be written on it? And what would I like written on it? What goals do I have? What would I like to be different? What do I hope I could have more of the same of in my life in the year ahead? What's the vision that you might have for 2020? Now, as you may know, various organizations or or places of work have a vision statement, and often you can find this vision statement buried somewhere in their kind of founding documents, or maybe even plastered on the wall. As a family, have kind of a vision sketched out as to what the purpose for your family is. Julie and I have a little vision card that we keep on the fridge that talks about what the Turnbull family is supposed to be about. And we often call ourselves, I know it's kind of nerdy, isn't it, to have that? But we do, as a family. You can read it on the fridge. But even if you can read it on the wall of a workplace or read it in the fridge, on the fridge of a family home, you might wonder, yes, that's what they've written down is their vision, but is that really what matters to them? Is that really, you know, on the ground, what's really important to them? Is that really what they're after? Do you know the best way to figure out what someone's vision is not to ask for the vision statement on the wall. It's to look at what they're thankful for, and it's to look at what they ask for, what they really, really want. That's how you know what someone's real vision is. What are they thankful for, and what do they ask for? As we came through the middle of December, for example, my son, Judah, my oldest, who turned 13, I have a teenager now, he was asking lots about going to see the new Star Wars film. And he would throw the request into lots of conversations. Dad, can we go see Star Wars? When are we going to go see Star Wars, Dad? Could we see it soon after it comes out? Maybe the weekend after? Surely we have to see it before we go back to school. And he was constantly talking about going and seeing the new Star Wars. So I thought, here's a chance to be an A-class dad. And we had Roots here one Wednesday night. The last Wednesday of the term, I think it was, where we met as the 20s to 30s to group in this building, and I realized as I was leading that ministry that it was the opening night of Star Wars, and it was showing at the Odeon Theater at 12:05 midnight, and I thought I could go home, and I could wake my son up, and I could take him to Star Wars, and I'll be an A-class dad, I thought. So I snuck into his room. He had no idea this was happening. I did give Julie some advanced notice. I phoned her and told her this was my plan, and she agreed. And I snuck up into his room. There he is, sawing logs, snoring away. He has a bunk bed. And I shook him, flicked his lights. Judah, we're going to go see Star Wars. And what did you think? That he would just jump, excited. Yes, Dad. Yes, I want to go. He rolled over. What are you talking about, Dad? It's midnight. Well, it was 11:30 at the time. But I shook him, and I rocked him, and I literally lifted him to sit up, and shook him, and then let him back down for 5 minutes, and then came back in and actually got him out of bed. And 20 minutes later, we were walking our way to the Odeon Theater. Just before midnight, we saw the film, and we were so glad that we did. It just so happened that our watching of the new Star Wars film coincided with the impeachment of Donald Trump. And just as the gavel dropped, Nancy Pelosi, you know, dropped the gavel on his impeachment. I'm sure that's right at the moment where, you know, Rey offended off Emperor Palpatine and brought him to his, you know, brought him down. But so we're never going to forget that, right? That we went and saw Star Wars on the night Donald Trump was impeached. How fun is that? But he was so thankful. In the days to follow, Judah couldn't stop thanking me for what we had done. Not only the theater, but the popcorn and the drinks, and all the sugar I pumped him with. You see, we know what's important to someone. We know what's important to an organization or a family. Not always by what they state as their vision, but what they ask for and what they're thankful for. Just as I knew that Star Wars was important to my son by what he was asking for before we saw it, and what he was consistently thankful for after it had been given to him. And friends, as we open up this series in the book of Colossians, in this early passage of the book, we get a glimpse into what God himself is thankful for in your life and what he is wanting in the life of our church. In these early verses of this power-packed book written by the Apostle Paul as he was led by the Holy Spirit, we see what God's vision for us is as individuals and as a church. We see, secondly, what God's provision for the vision, the realization of the vision in our lives is, secondly, and we see what difference it makes in our lives today, here and now. So firstly, what's God's vision for you? What's God's vision for us as a city congregation in 2020? Well, his vision, we'll see, as we're just about to read, is that we would grow in our faith in the Lord Jesus and be strengthened in our love for one another as a church. Would you look down with me at Colossians chapter 1? We're going to come back to verses 1 and 2. But would you look at with me, first of all, at verse 3 and verse 4. God's vision for us is that we would grow in faith in the Lord Jesus and in love for one another. Look at what God, through the prayers of the Apostle Paul, is thankful for in this life, in the life of this church. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, because we have heard of your, what? Of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. Now, this church in Colossae, which is one of the churches that were scattered throughout Asia Minor that Paul cared about, this church was going through a bit of a fading of its vision. Paul didn't found this church. We learn that he has never visited the church as the letter goes on. He's never met these believers in person. Instead, a believer by the name of Epaphras seems to be the key leader that brought the gospel to this city and saw this church, found it. And so Paul gets word about this church that he's never been to as Epaphras comes from Colossae to where Paul is in prison, most likely in Rome. And Paul in prison hears about this and this church that's been founded, and he hears that it's under trial. He hears that people have kind of come into the midst of the church and have begun to teach falsely the believers there. And so their vision is drifting. And he writes from prison and sends this letter by means of two men named Tychicus and Onesimus, we learn later on, to send this letter to refresh the vision that God has for them. And what is it that Paul says he's thankful for as he's gotten word of this church? What is it that is his vision, God's vision for this church? Well, the vision is that they would grow in faith in the Lord Jesus and love for one another. Now, what does that mean? We'll take each of them in turn. Faith in the Lord Jesus. Isn't that something that you and I just have if we're Christian people? That you believe at one point in history, and you give your life to the Lord Jesus and say, Jesus, I trust you. And then from that point forward, you could say, well, I do have faith in him. Well, in a sense, that's true. That when we initially believe in the Lord Jesus and express our faith in him truly, we're always his, and that faith is there. But in another sense, our faith in the Lord Jesus is something that can grow stronger or weaker. It's something that we can feel like we have a strong grasp on, or it can feel like something that we're beaten back from. And that's the way that Paul's speaking about faith here in the letter to the Colossians. Look with me over at a couple of other verses where he speaks about faith. Look at chapter 1. Verse 22 through 23, for example. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. And then here, verse 23. If you continue in your faith, established and firm, and do not move from the hope held out in the gospel. This is the gospel that you heard and that has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven, and of which I, Paul, have become a servant. So notice that how he talks about faith. If you continue in your faith, he says. So yes, they place their faith in him, but Paul's challenging them to continue in their faith. His vision for this church is that they wouldn't be beaten back from their faith in Jesus, but they would grow stronger in it. Look also with me at chapter 2, verse 6 through 7, which I read earlier. And you'll notice verse 7, that he says of these Christians that may they be rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. So you might have faith in the Lord Jesus, but do you know that in the 2020 year ahead, you can actually grow more in your faith in Christ? You can grow more in your trust in him, or you can fade further back from it. And likewise, as a church at City, we can either grow and be strengthened and feel like we have a firmer hold of Christ through 2020, or we can feel like we're losing hold of him. So the vision for God for us is that we would grow in our faith. What does it mean to have faith in Christ? Well, it means to trust him. I'm sorry if I've told you this story before as I seek to illustrate what it means to trust. But in early December, I sought to get down to a boathouse on the river very quickly one morning. And I was supposed to be rowing with a rowing crew. And I discovered that I couldn't unlock my bike. It was stuck. And so I jumped on Julie's bike, thinking this was a bicycle that I could put my trust in. And though it wasn't used very much and had been sitting there unused for a number of months, I thought, no, it's a sturdy bike. Jumped on this bike, tore down the river path, and all was going fairly well. I was going to make it on time to the meet. It was all dark. Came up to a hill where the path goes up a bit more and powered down on the pedal, and the chain gave way on the bicycle. And the pedal struck down to the ground and hit the pavement, and I flew off this bike and crashed into the railing of the bridge and hurt my little finger. You see, my faith in this bicycle was misplaced. But nonetheless, that's a good illustration of what it means to trust. Faith isn't just an idea in our heads that says, yeah, this bicycle, I can rely on it. Faith is actually getting on the bicycle and putting our weight on it, our trust in it, not just in our heads, but to get us from point A to point B. And trusting in the Lord Jesus doesn't just mean that you have certain ideas in your head about who Jesus is or what he did or what he will do. It means that you put the weight of your life on him, that you trust him with your future, that you trust him with your present, that you trust him with the sins of your past. And you take all of that and you say, Jesus, I can't do this. You have to. You get on the bike. That's what it means to trust him. And friends, we can grow in that kind of faith in 2020. And we can grow, secondly, in his vision for us, by growing in love for one another. Did you notice what it said there? What is Paul thankful for? What's his vision? Because we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all God's people. So when he gets excited about a church, what excites him? What excites him is when he sees Christian people loving each other. And this is why Annabelle's announcement about small groups or home groups is so important. How can we love one another, friends, if we're not getting to know one another? If there's not an environment in which we can say, this is what's going on in my life, this is how I'm struggling, I don't know what to do about this. Friends, if you're not a part of a small group related to City, may I just say, it's one of my priorities for this first term of the year to see that you would get into one so that you can begin loving one another, knowing other Christians. What are their needs? And how can I help with their need? God wants that for us here at City. What does it mean to love someone? I don't know who you say, I love you too. Maybe a brother or sister. When I call my mom in the psychiatric institution back in Canada, Of course, I'll say, I love you, Mom, so many times. What does it mean to actually love someone? Those words come off our lips so easily. Well, if you turn over the page to chapter 3, he gives a wonderful description of what it means to love. He says, therefore, verse 12 of chapter 3, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Friends, do you love one another in that kind of way? I say I love you to Julie all the time. I think almost every day, would you say, sweetie? And she says I love you to me. Every day? Okay, every day. But if Julie and I were to exchange words like that every day and not actually help each other bear one another's burdens and say, oh, I see you're weighed down with this particular problem or issue. How can I help you carry that? If we didn't love one another by saying, oh, Julie, I'm sorry, I sinned against you in this way. Would you forgive me? And her saying back to me, yes, I forgive you. I hope she'll say, and she so often does. If we're not forgiving one another like that, whatever little grievances we have against each other, are we loving one another? This is what it looks like to love. Clothing ourselves. I mean, this is not the way I would have described my home when the kids were super tired at various points over the Christmas holiday. Would you say, were my children clothed with compassion? Were they clothed with kindness towards each other? Were they clothed with humility? Were they clothed, and this gets me, was I clothed with gentleness and patience when we were at our wits' end? Everyone's tired and frazzled after the break. I mean, that's what it looks like to love. Friends, we're meant to love each other that way in 2020. So let me ask, how's your faith in the Lord Jesus, and how's your love for other Christian people? What was the strength of your faith in the Lord Jesus over 2019? And how was your love for other Christian people actually played out throughout 2019? And how might God strengthen your faith in the Lord Jesus this coming year? And how might he give you opportunity to love other Christian people this way, this year? Friends, that's God's vision for City in the year 2020. Well, my sermon's pretty well done in time, and I've made it through the first point. So let me just conclude with this second point. So that's great that you have this vision for us, God, but what about how does it come to pass? This growth in faith and this growth in love. Well, this is where we get to chapter 1, verses 5 and 6a. What, to Paul, what from the Lord's view empowers and feeds and fuels faith and love? Well, look at verse 5. The faith and love that spring from the hope stored up for you in heaven, and about which you have already heard in the true message of the gospel that has come to you. In the same way the gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace. You learned it from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on our behalf, and who has told us of your love in the Spirit. So notice that how Paul sees hope as what gives rise to faith in Christ Jesus and love. Think of a tree with its trunk and with its branches and with its fruit, and think of what's down beneath the dirt, beneath the ground. Well, having those roots down in the hope of the gospel of grace is what gives rise to a strengthened faith, a strong faith in Christ, and practical love. Friends, if you don't have a strong faith in the Lord Jesus, and you're not loving other Christian people in the kind of radical way that Paul spells out in chapter 3, then you might be tempted to think, well, I'm going to need to look really hard at my faith and look really hard at my love, when in fact he's saying, it might be an issue of hope. Have you clearly seen the hope that God has for you in Christ Jesus? Notice that it's hope that gives rise to faith and love. Verse 5, the faith and love that spring from the hope stored up from you in heaven and about which you've already heard in this true gospel of grace. What is the hope of the gospel? Look at chapter 1, verse 12, for example. And Paul goes on praying and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people in the kingdom of light. So when he thinks of hope, he thinks of an inheritance that's coming to us as Christian people. It's something that's in the future, but nonetheless one that empowers the present. So an inheritance, think of that. So when someone dies who was over you as a father or mother, and they pass away, an inheritance can sometimes be passed on. And it's something you can be aware of even before it happens. And it's a game changer, that inheritance. And in like manner, the Christian person has an inheritance coming. The inheritance of being with God and being with Jesus forever in a new heaven and a new earth where everything is made new again by the Lord Jesus. Where you are, we learn elsewhere in Colossians, spotless and blameless and without accusation, no stain upon you. Friends, that's the inheritance that we have in Jesus. Do you have that hope squarely in your vision as you go ahead into this fresh year? Is the hope won for us through the death and resurrection of Jesus real in what you see ahead of you? Do you really believe that what you believe is true? Do you believe that that future is coming to you? If you do, it changes the present, friends. It gives us faith to hold on to Jesus no matter what trial might come in this year ahead. It encourages us. I'm not letting go of you, Jesus. I know that inheritance is coming. And it frees you to love people radically because you know, well, if I have that inheritance coming, then I can be free in my love towards other people. Friends, our vision for this year, given to us by the Lord, is that we would grow in faith in the Lord Jesus and love for one another. And what empowers that is the hope that God really has for Christian people in the future. Do you believe that? Do you see it? If you do, you'll hold on to Christ and you'll love each other radically this year. I didn't make it to my third point, but let's pray, and then we'll sing. Paul opens his letter, "Grace and peace to you from God our Father." Heavenly Father, as we think about the year ahead, we think of so many different needs that we have and changes that we would like to make. But thank you that the apostle opens this letter as he characteristically opens his letters by saying, "Grace and peace to you." And so, Lord, we want to acknowledge that what we need most as we respond to what we've heard today is grace. We need your free love and help and mercy. Please, would you give us more of your grace, God? And we need peace. Please, would you help us to be at peace with you through Christ? Thank you that we are as we trust in him. Help us to be at peace within ourselves because of him. And help us to be at peace with others, because that's what he would have us do. Lord, please, would you fill us with your grace and peace as we seek to follow you this year. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.